The following is a lecture given by His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, recorded on November 21st, 1997, in Elford, UK.
Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha. The Jivatma is the eternal identity of each and every one of us. This physical body, the subtle body composed of mind, the intelligence, and the false ego, are simply temporary dresses that are assumed temporarily by the soul. And these dresses, they are always changing. From boyhood to youth to old age, this particular body very much changes. And at the time of death, according to our desires and activities, we are forced by the laws of nature to accept another type of body. There are 8,400,000 species of life, and we will be destined to assume any of these various forms. And within each species of life, there are certain very particular ways in which we can enjoy and also suffer. Each species of life has its own mystic powers, in which it can perform particular activities that are very difficult or impossible to do by any species. When I say mystic powers, it means they are very specialized and difficult to do to those who do not have that particular type of education or capacity. Just like we are human beings, if a human being were able to stay under the water for 5 or 6 years at a time, without ever coming to the surface, we would consider them to be great yogis, would we not? There was a devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His name was Murari Chaitanya. And he was just so absorbed in ecstatic love of God that he didn't consider what was possible or impossible for a human being. He just wanted to give everyone Krishna prema. So sometimes he would run into the forest and he would see a lion or a tiger and he would just grab them by the tail and start pulling them. And then he would jump on their backs and start riding them. Sometimes they'd be sleeping and he'd go up and slap them in the face and demand, chant Hare Krishna. And the tigers would just start weeping and crying and chanting Hare Krishna. Sometimes he would see deadly pythons and cobras and he would catch them and he would play with them on his lap and somehow induce them to chant the holy names of Krishna. Sometimes he would go underwater for 5 to 7 days in the Ganges, just completely immersed in meditation on Krishna. So there are yogis who actually can go underwater and somehow or other breathe and exist. And we may consider them very, very great personalities. But actually, any fish can easily be underwater for years at a time. But are they great yogis? By human standards, yes. Because they can swim underwater, they can see underwater, they can breathe underwater. So that is something a human being cannot do. They have that particular power. And there are other species of life who can fly in the sky. They are called birds. Now, if we were to start flying in the sky, some of us would start worshiping as God. And elephants, they can eat all day long. No human being can eat all day long. We eat 2, 3, 4 times a day, then we get sick because we eat too much. But elephants can eat day and night, never get sick. They can eat 100 kilos a day. Hare Krishna. And pigeons could have sex 60 times a day. And there are lions and tigers. How they can fight? What human being can fight against a tiger? Madhvacharya, he used to fight against tigers, beat them up. But he was Vayu, avatar. But even the greatest world champion, boxer, wrestler, put him in the ring with a tiger. He will be finished within seconds. So there are various species of animals who are far superior than human beings. Because due to their previous karmas, they somehow or other have a body that has a specific type of empowerment, as well as a specific way of enjoying and suffering. And the spirit soul is evolving through 8,400,000 species, generally. And this human form of life is very special because it is endowed with one special characteristic that makes it superior to the animals. Other than this specific characteristic, the animals are superior to us. And that is, we could question our existence and strive to realize our eternal spiritual nature. Because all the other lower species are completely immersed in the misconception that they are that body that they are residing in. And they're trying to somehow or other bring enjoyment through the four basic necessities of eating and sleeping and mating and defending. Human form of life that is not dedicated to the principle of self-realization is nothing more than a misused existence. We have become elevated after millions of births above the animal species, and we are living for the same things the animals live for. Enjoyment of the body and the mind, without understanding the real nature of our soul. So therefore, the Brahma Sutra explains in its first aphorism, Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Now that you have come to this very valuable human species of life, it is time to inquire into what is Brahman. What is spiritual reality? Who am I? When Srila Sanatan Goswami approached Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he asked the relevant questions that we should all be asking, sincerely, from the very core of our hearts. Sanatan Goswami was the chief minister under the king of all of Bengal. He was so beautiful, handsome, and young. He had been given so much wealth. He lived in a beautiful, beautiful palace in the town of Ramkeli, and he had constructed wonderful gardens, and he was so learned, more learned than anyone. The greatest pandits, rishis, Vaishnavas, they would all come to his court to hear Srimad Bhagavatam and his explanations. And everyone would be struck with wonder. But yet, when he approached Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he approached with straw between his teeth, declaring himself to be the most ignorant, the most sinful, the most fallen. Because you see, our material qualifications can in no way, shape, or form give us access to truth. Srimad Bhagavatam describes all your material qualifications, if they are not being used in the humble service of the Lord, under the direction of superior spiritual personalities, they are all simply a burden. They will all simply infatuate us and create more complication and misery in our life. Only a fool will want to be a wealthy man in this world. There's a lot of fools. Because the more wealth you have, the more complicated your life becomes. The more attached you become to your body, the more attached you become to your home and to your family and to your television and your car and your stereo and your mobile phones and your computers and your pets and everything else that you have. Furniture and your shoes and your nice clothes and your suits and your saris and everything else. And you need more and more and more to maintain the more that you have, and then you need more to maintain that because there's more. And you're always afraid somebody's going to take it away or you may lose it. Because the more you have, the more you think, I have to have so much to exist. A millionaire thinks, if I don't have millions of dollars, it's impossible to survive in this world. And a billionaire thinks, if I don't have $1 billion, how could I survive in this world? This is the illusion. But Sanatan Goswami, he had all these things. But he gave it all up. He left it all behind. Why? Because he understood, I'm in poverty because I do not have truth in my life. Therefore, he asked Lord Chaitanya, who am I? Why am I suffering the threefold miseries of material existence? Who is God? What is my relationship to God? People call me a great scholar, but I don't even know these things. Therefore, I am fool number one. Please instruct me. And because of this humble approach to the Lord, his heart was receptive to receive the highest truths. This human existence is so precious, but it is only precious when we use it for the purpose of devotional service to the Lord. Otherwise, the other species are superior to us, because we cannot be satisfied unless we have self-realization, because it's not the nature of our species. Whatever we get, we'll be dissatisfied because we have too much intelligence. But an animal is miserable, but basically thinking this is all there is. Doesn't question its existence. An animal is so absorbed in eating that he doesn't question what tomorrow will bring. But humans are always worried about what tomorrow will bring. Why? Because a human being is meant to search for eternity. And eternity comes only when we come in contact with the source of everything, Krishna. Therefore, Krishna consciousness is the real duty of every human being. Because Krishna is the ultimate deliverer of all suffering souls within this ocean of birth and death. And Krishna is so kind. He is the ever well-wishing friend, father, and spiritual master of everyone. However we approach Krishna, he is willing to see the good within us and somehow or other eliminate everything else. This is the power of a godly person also. It is explained the qualities of a sadhu, or a saintly person, is one who is a friend to everyone, one who tries to see whatever good there is in another and try to remove whatever is bad. Our Guru Maharaj Srila Prabhupada, this was the quality that gave him the power to make so many people great devotees of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya, when he was dancing in the Jharikhanda forest, he was making the tigers and the lions and the elephants and the snakes and the deer and even the trees and the creepers and the grass dance in ecstasy, weeping tears of love and chanting the holy names of the Lord. But Srila Prabhupada went to various parts of the world where human beings were more degraded, more sinful, more ignorant than the lower animals. And somehow or other, he induced them to chant the holy names of the Lord and give up all their materialistic ways and surrender to Krishna. How did he do that? He would just see, even if a person was so sinful, addicted to every kind of materialistic way, if they were intoxicated, if they were meat eaters, if they were gamblers, if they were having illicit sex every day, if they were cruel and ignorant and dirty and they smelled terrible, if he saw one trace of a desire for Krishna consciousness in them, he would encourage them and consider that they were glorious and fortunate. If a person simply took notice of the chanting, if a person simply appreciated prasad, Srila Prabhupada would give his life to that person to give them more. And how would he give them more? By becoming their best friend and well-wisher. And by giving them more and more Krishna consciousness, he would simultaneously teach them how to give up their bad habits. This is the quality of Krishna. Krishna is the supreme, most worshipable Lord. And one of the great testimonies of this is when Krishna was just a little baby living in Gokul. Kamsa sent the terrible Rakshasi Putana. She was going like a hunter, looking to kill all babies, because it was said to Kamsa that somewhere your great enemy Vishnu has been born, and he will be the cause of your death. So Kamsa sent Putana that you go and you kill all babies everywhere. So she was just roaming through the countryside, and she had such powers, she can disguise herself in any form she so desired. And thousands of babies, she would somehow or other get them, and she would kill them, and she would drink their blood and eat their flesh. Hare Krishna. Very sinful person. This was the person that came to kill Krishna. She disguised herself in such a beautiful way that she looked like she was coming from the heavens. She appeared to the residents of Vrindavan to be like the goddess of fortune. Yashoda and Rohini, when they saw her, they were thinking, oh, we are so fortunate. This auspicious personality has come to bless our community and to bless our child. So they let her right in to pick up Krishna. And she appeared to be filled with such motherly affection. But prior to coming, she placed upon her breast a terrible, deadly poison that was enough to kill hundreds, thousands of grown men. And she placed that breast in Krishna's mouth. And Krishna was just an infant child. He was only days old at the time. It is said he was so young, he was performing a pastime in which he wasn't even able to open his eyes so properly. And he began to drink the milk from Putana's breast. And he started to drink. And the poison, of course, had no effect on Krishna. He drank all the poison. And then he drank her milk. And then he started drinking her life. And Putana was struggling. She was finding her whole life force was being sucked out by this little baby. So she started trying to remove Krishna. But he was just holding on. And with all of her power, she was trying to get him away, but she couldn't move him. So she started crying out, leave me, child, leave me! And she started screaming so loud, it was piercing the ears of everyone. And she was in so much fear and pain that she ran out of the house into the pasture ground. And there she could not contain her disguise. She assumed her original form, which was 12 miles in size. Hare Krishna. And Krishna, he kept his same size, and he just kept sucking. And she was screaming and squirming, and she fell to the ground, and it was like an earthquake. And Krishna kept sucking. And then he sucked out her very life, and she lied dead. Sri Krishna Bhagavan ki. And the residents of Vrindavan, they were very amazed to see this wonderful feature. Nanda Maharaj and the cowherd men, they came back from visiting Vasudev and paying their taxes in Mathura. And when they saw this incredible form of Putana, her thighs looked like river banks. Her belly looked like a dried up massive lake. Breasts looked like big hills. Her teeth looked like roadways. Her eyes were like big sunken wells. Her scattered hair like forests. She was a terrible Rakshasi. But it is described by Shukadeva Goswami that Krishna saw the good in her. Krishna saw that she is approaching me like my mother. Therefore he reciprocated by drinking her milk as his mother. And all the bad about her, he caused her to suffer terribly for those few minutes. And in that suffering, he removed all of her sins. And how many sins? Here is a Rakshasi who has killed thousands and thousands of innocent newborn babies, drunk their blood and eat their flesh and made all their parents cry. But somehow she was coming with the intention only to kill Krishna. But because she came with the motive of trying to be mother, Krishna just saw, she is my mother. She's coming to serve me as mother. Let me take all of the bad away and all that remains left. After he sucked her sins out of her, and she struggled and screamed and she was miserable for a while, and all that was remained was her motherly affection. And when she died, what was left in her heart is her motherly affection for Krishna. So Krishna sent her immediately back to the highest planet of the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan, the topmost of all Vaikuntha planet. And there he gave her the eternal position of his mother. She became the assistant nurse of Mother Yashoda, where she would eternally be serving little Krishna with pure unalloyed love and devotion. And the great devotees of the Lord, they worship this beautiful narration. What other Lord is there than this who is so merciful? He is willing to give pure unalloyed devotion to even Putana. And what kind of a family did Putana come from? She had two brothers. One was Bakasura, the other was Aghasura. And they both came to get revenge on the death of their sister. And Krishna also had nice pastimes with them and removed their sinful desires. Bakasura came as a big duck and Aghasura as a massive snake. So if we have the desire to serve Krishna, he will give us the opportunity and the facility to serve. And simultaneously, through his own means, he will somehow or other devise how we can be purified of all of our materialistic, egoistic attachments. And this is the speciality of Krishna and also his Vishnu avatars. Other great demigods, if you ask for material benefits, they are obliged to give you material benefits. But Krishna, he will only give you love of God. And in order to get you to realize that love of God, he may take everything away from you. Haribo. Some people are afraid of Krishna because he is Hari. If you worship Shiva, he will definitely give you anything you want if you give him the proper puja. He gave Ravana what he wanted. He gave Banasura what he wanted. If you worship Brahma, he will give you what you want if you perform the proper sacrifice, as he did for Hiranyakashipu. If you worship Indra, Ganapati, they will definitely give you any desire you want if you perform the proper puja with the proper mentality. But Krishna, he only will give you one thing, prema. And anything that is an obstacle for your obtaining that prema, he will do that for you. He will somehow take it away. If you are too much attached to anything of this world, if you perform puja, give me money, Krishna, give me money. If he knows you'll use it in his service, he'll give you money. If he knows that that money is an obstacle to your spiritual life, not only will it not give you more money, but he may take away everything you already have. If you worship some gods for beautiful husband or a beautiful wife, if you do the proper puja, you will get it. But Krishna, if he knows that a beautiful wife or a nice wealthy husband is good for you, then he may give it to you. But if he knows that your mentality will be that you will become more attached to this material world of illusion, only he knows what he may give you. Or whether what he may take away from you. Hari Hari, this is Krishna. Krishna gave Putana terrible pain to take away her ego. But in the end, what did he give her? Eternal residence in the spiritual world as his own mother. And of course, we all know the previous life of Putana. You all know that? When Krishna took his avatar of Vamanadeva. Vamanadeva, he was born of Kashyapa Muni and Aditi, who was the mother and father of the Devatas. Because Bali Maharaj was then the king of the demons, Bali Maharaj's father was Birochan. His grandfather was Prahlad, and his great-grandfather was Hiranyakashipu. People today, especially in Indian families, they like to have photos of their father, grandfather, great-grandfather. Very variegated house he would have as far as photos. Hiranyakashipu. This is my great-grandfather. And here's Prahlad Maharaj. This is my grandfather. And this is Virochan, my father. So he was coming in a very, very special dynasty of wicked and great souls who all received the mercy of the Lord. But because he was the king of the demons, he did his duty. And it is explained how he completely conquered Indra and all the devatas. They all had to leave their abodes and hide because Bali was so powerful. Because he had properly served and pleased the Brahmins. He had received their blessings, and nothing could defeat him. So by the prayers of these great devotees, Vamanadeva appeared. And he appeared in the form of a little dwarf. And after he appeared, he decided to go in his Brahmin dwarf form to beg from Bali Maharaj some alms. So Bali Maharaj saw this beautiful little dwarf and he said, "Oh, you have come to my home to beg charity. What is it that you want?" And Vamanadeva said, "I just want 3 steps of land from you. And Bali Maharaj was very much disappointed. He had conquered the universe. He could give anything. It's almost an insult to ask somebody of that stature for 3 steps of land. He told Vamanadeva that your steps are tiny, you're a dwarf. Take something more. I can give you your own island. I can give you your own planet. I can give you anything. And Vamanadeva told Bali that if one is not content within his own heart, one cannot be satisfied whatever one gains in this world. He said, I have nothing, but because I'm satisfied within my heart, I'm happy. But you conquered the whole universe, but because you have no satisfaction in your heart, you are a miserable person. Do we want to be like that person? People are such fools in this world. Who do they idolize? Who do they see as their heroes? People who are miserable. People idolize big, big politicians. If only I could be like him. They're always worried that somebody's going to assassinate them. They're always worried that somebody's going to take their position away from them. They're always worried that somebody's going to cheat them. They're always worried that some law enforcement officer is going to catch them for their illegal activities. They're always worried they're going to lose votes. They're always worried because they know they can't keep their promises. They're miserable people. They're not blissful. You don't see them dancing in the streets like the devotees. Bhakti Mike, Pradyumna, they don't have anything, but they're dancing in the streets. They eat a chapati and they sleep on the ground and they're dancing in the streets. All these others, they have all secret service men around them and big, big bulletproof vehicles, and still they're afraid. And rich people? Look at all these big, big, big rich people. Where do we find anywhere that they're happy? That they have any satisfaction in their life? They're simply constantly worrying about their money. Worrying about getting more. Worrying about not losing what they have. Worrying and worrying and miserably worrying. That's all. And these movie stars, movie actors and movie actresses, where do we find that they're happy? On the screen, they have become very expert at making big, big smiles with shining teeth. But as soon as they're not in the public eye, they never smile. They're just frustrated. Every time they look in the mirror, they see wrinkles are coming. What if the public finds out? They have to spend all kinds of money stretching their skin and filling cracks, various cosmetics. They're always in anxiety. And so many people are trying to exploit them. Most glamorous people. If you read the histories of any of them, past or present, they were so frustrated, so miserable. Most of them are on drugs and alcohol. They're always getting divorced once, twice, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. And the more times they get divorced and remarried, the more they become idolized by the public. So much frustration. So Vamanadeva told Bali Maharaj that if one is not satisfied in his own heart, one cannot be satisfied no matter how much money, no matter how much fame, no matter how much skill they have. Everyone today, all the big people practically, they're all being exposed for scandalous life. That means they're frustrated, they're miserable. And when they get exposed, they're even most miserable. And yet, in Kali Yuga, these are the people that everyone is just spending their hard-earned money to hear what they say or hear what they sing or see what they're doing. So Vamanadeva told Bali, I'm satisfied with three steps. You're not satisfied with the whole universe. Just give me my three steps. So Bali said, all right. Meanwhile, Bali's guru, Sukracharya, he said, don't give him, because I know who he is. He's Vishnu. And if you give him three steps, he's going to take everything you have. And Bali said to Sukracharya, you're my guru. Guru is supposed to tell me to surrender to Vishnu, and you're telling me not to surrender to Vishnu. Therefore, you are not guru, you are rascal. Get out. So Sukracharya was very angry. He said, I curse you to lose everything. So then Vamana began to grow very big. The first step, he covered half the universe. Second step, he covered the second half of the universe. He pierced the covering of the universe and caused the Ganges to flow. And the Ganges first washed his lotus feet, then began to flow as a beautiful river throughout the heavenly planets. Then he tied up Bali Maharaj and he made him a prisoner. He said, you have lied to me. You promised me three steps. You have nothing left. And Bali Maharaj was completely humiliated. Just a minute before, he was the king of the universe. And all of his relatives and all of his subjects and all of his soldiers, they were all worshiping him and glorifying him on the royal throne. Not Buckingham Palace throne, but the throne of the universe. He actually had authority and power. And the relatives and friends and well-wishers and everyone, they're looking at him like, this is our master? This is our king? He's helplessly a prisoner tied up with ropes. Bali Maharaj was utterly humiliated. Then his own wife came forward, Vidyavali, and she told Bali Maharaj that you are in Maya. You are too much attached to all these things. You should just surrender to the Lord. This is his mercy. And his grandfather came, Prahlad Maharaj, said, you are so fortunate, and my lord, Vamanadeva, you are so merciful. You have taken everything away so he can surrender to you. And Vamana said, where should I put my third step? You promised me three. Bali Maharaj said, please place it on my head. I surrender everything to you. I've surrendered my wealth, I've surrendered my kingdom, I've surrendered my ego, I want to surrender my life. And then Vamana placed his foot on Bali's head, and he became Mahajan, one of the greatest of all spiritual authorities. But meanwhile, the sister of Bali Maharaj, her name was Ratnambali. And when she first saw Vamanadeva, he was so beautiful. He was just such a beautiful little dwarf. And actually, he was just born. She just developed such parental affection. She loved Vamana like a mother loves a child. She developed motherly affection. And she was just thinking in her heart, if only I had a beautiful little son like this. How wonderful. And Krishna's in everyone's heart. He knows everyone's desires. But then, when Vamanadeva became Trivikram, and he became very big, and started walking across the universe with two steps, then she was thinking, oh, what he's doing to my brother, like that. So in this way, because this lady had some motherly affection, in her next birth she became Putana. The Lord reciprocated. She had two things. She had motherly affection at the beginning, and then she had anger to the Lord. So in her next birth she was Putana. She came as a mother with anger. But Krishna so mercifully took away all the bad, and all that remained was her motherly love. So this is what happens when we chant Krishna's holy names. We are all the eternal servants of Krishna. The very essence of our existence is to love Krishna and serve Krishna. But somehow or other, we have been covered by so many exploitative material desires. So when we chant the names of Krishna, He is Hari, He will steal away all the inauspicious things within our heart and within our life, so that all that remains is our essential spiritual desire to serve Krishna with love and devotion. That is the ultimate perfection of life. And we should not live for anything other than that. If we do, we are very, very unfortunate. We are cheating ourselves, cheating our families, and cheating the world of Krishna prema. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prayed, Prema Pumartha Mahan, the greatest and ultimate of all goals of life is to love Krishna. And actually, it's not that we have to give up everything. We have to give up all of our egoistic attachments. We can be family men, we can be housewives, we can be students, we can be business people, we can be politicians, we can be musicians, we can be scientists, we can be anything with any occupation, but we have to learn the art of offering our activities in the service of God, not in the service of our illusioned, egoistic misconceptions. We should not live for sense gratification. We should live for service to Krishna. That is the art of living in harmony with truth. So Lord Chaitanya has come to teach us the means by which anyone and everyone within this age of Kali Yuga can cleanse their hearts. Actually, we have no power to cleanse our hearts. But Krishna, as Hari, He has the power to steal away all the dirt from our heart. If we just attract His mercy by very loudly and sincerely chanting His holy names. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna,
Hare Hare,
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama,
Rama Rama,
Hare Hare.
Thank you very much. Is there any questions?
Hare.
Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare means?
Hare is the name of Lord Krishna or Vishnu, which means one who steals, one who takes away all inauspicious things from our consciousness. And Hare, which we chant in Maha Mantra, is the name of the pleasure potency of the Lord. Hara, in its invocation, is Hare. It is the name of Sri Radharani, the Lord's eternal consort. Is there any other questions?
Hare Krishna.
I am asking a very simple question. Here you all people say, go on performing all your duties, whatever duties you are doing. But I personally think it's very difficult to have bhakti plus other duties because the outside influence is so much on you that you can't really go back from where you start. Like, for example, you are doing duties, can be anything, professional person. You go out to various meetings, you eat with them on the same table where they are eating all that non-veg. I think it does affect you in the long run, that if you have done prayers and you go there, you are put back. So I personally think I may be very wrong. It's very difficult to do two things together. Up to a certain age, yes. You can carry on. But when the age comes, as we say, Banprastha, one has to really give up. Otherwise, we are set back. Please give more light on this. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. We are very happy to hear your realization. If we are sincere, we should not compromise. In the grihastha ashram, we may have to perform certain occupational duties. However, we should be as strict as possible. And if we have very, very good and holy association with sadhus, and we keep our home as a very sanctified spiritual temple, and we raise our family according to very pure principles, and we maintain very, very strong sadhana and discipline, and the fruits of our work, which means the money we earn, we give a reasonable proportion of that to Krishna for the service of assisting the sadhus in spreading Krishna consciousness, then we can be protected from these outside influences and we could carry on with our duties. But without regular association of sadhus, good sadhana, a very sanctified home life, and giving proper contributions to spiritualize our income, it is very contaminating. What you are saying is right. And when we get to a certain age, when our children are grown up and they can maintain themselves, at that time we should retire from all these occupational duties and simply chant, dance, feast, perform some tapasya and help the preachers to spread Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. We should not be attached to the fag end of our lives. We should not be under the illusion that nothing will go on without me. Srila Prabhupada explained that this is the illusion. He said, great leaders of nations, Kennedy, Gandhi, so many people, they were thinking, how will the nation go on without me? But they are gone and the nations are going on. And the father is thinking, if I don't supply, if I don't maintain, how will the family go on? But whether you live or die, the family will go on. Hare Krishna. So why do we hold on to these things so tightly? We should do our duty as long as it is our duty, and as soon as we can renounce it all and just dedicate all of our energy to the seva of Krishna, we should do it. Ready, Bo? Any other questions? Yes, Prabhu.
We understand from the scripture that chanting the names of God is the recommended process of deliverance in this age. So why specifically Hare Krishna Mahamantra over other names of God like Allah?
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prayed Nam Namakari Bahuta Nija Sarva Shaktis, that all the proper names of God are invested with the power of God. So you could chant any bona fide name of God and become purified. However, of all the names, in the Kali Santaran Upanishad it is described that this Mahamantra is the most specially empowered in this age of Kali to give us the greatest benefits. This Maha Mantra in this age of Kali Yuga is the specific, prescribed, most powerful medicine for the condition of consciousness in this egoistic world. And therefore, there are many mantras, but this is called the Maha Mantra. And therefore, the Lord Himself, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when He descended as the Yuga Avatar, to teach the chanting of the holy name, He especially selected amongst all names and amongst all mantras this Maha Mantra as the most important. He chanted so many names of God. If you read in his wonderful biography, sometimes he and his followers were chanting Govinda, Banamali, Hari, Madhusudan, Ram. But he propagated as the most important of all meditations, the most powerful mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare
Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare.
There may be many good, effective medicines, but the expert physician knows which one will be most effective on you. So who is a better physician than the Supreme Lord? And he has descended, and he has selected that this is the perfect medicine for everyone in this age of Kali to reawaken their original lost love for Krishna by the chanting of Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So at this time, we would like to have kirtan of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra.